Nuclear star companies.
Yeah.
There are a few.
I mean, they're partly private owned. Privately owned. And then there's the Electrolux company, whose boss maintains that we should have 50 to 100 nuclear power reactors. He said that after the Chernobyl accident again.
Mm-hmm.
And some people in the Royal Academy of Sciences, no, Engineering Sciences, and also Social Democrats.
Male technocrats, technicians, which are quite fascinated, of course. I should be fascinated by the technology too. I think it is very fascinating, of course, difficult. It's
challenge,
yes.
By computers, yeah.
Yes, yes, really. And if you only see to that, if you're a technician, engineer or whatever.
But it's always
quite fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
But still, they lack the sense of connection to reality.
Yeah.
They're not realists, yeah, as they, which they claim they are.
The real heart of my project comes to this, which is that obviously nuclear power is a technological issue.
Yeah.
However, it's also a societal one, and where society has to choose how they want to live.
Exactly.
And this is what makes the Swedes such an interesting case, because they want to live in a different way. The values they have are in contrast, I think, to the technological results of nuclear energy. And this is how many political scientists tend to view it. That is, if the question can be posed to the Swedes like that, and in many ways to the states too, that is, it's just not technology. That this is a human question that involves the future. That that's the only chance for mobilization.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's a matter of for the politicians and not for the technocrats. It's not their decision.
Yeah.
Not for them to choose, actually.
Yeah. See, I was interviewing, I have the exact quote here, yeah. I was interviewing a Swedish industrialist, and this is what he said. He said that, I find the idea ludicrous that in the year 2010, abracadabra, this country will be nuclear free.
Yeah.
Sweden is now living in a never-never land as far as nuclear energy is concerned. After all, we are the model for the world on safe nuclear power.
Yeah.
So obviously, that is that
Can
other.
Can you say who said that?
In this case, it was an off the record comment of a person.
Well,
yeah, actually,
we have seen that several times. I mean,
everybody
knows that lots of people.
He was with the Atomic Energy Forum.
Before the accident, we did have a very, very clear impression that, it was quite obvious, really. Industrialists and politicians who were in favor of nuclear power, they were putting very, very hard pressure on the government and on the opinion to give up the decision from the referendum that we should expand our nuclear power program and we should increase our export and all that sort. And then this happened and they had to be silenced. They haven't said anything, but we're afraid
they are preparing
some arguments to.
They're preparing a campaign for NPLs, you know, the
safe reactor.
Yeah.
City reactors.
That would be
ones that they have in the middle of a city.
And they have the money to do the public opinion molding and shaping.
Yeah, they do.
A limited amount of money.
Yeah.
They do have a lot of money.
When I mentioned to you that I was, when I mentioned to both of you that I was going to SIFO, you both smiled and
no,
said,
you didn't? I think you should check anything.
Yes. Do you have a suspicion of, they measure public attitude. That's it's a pri-
well, they're closing out questions they perhaps ought to ask, but don't. And so,
oh, really?
The result. you should go through the actual questions naturally and judge for yourself what they.
Yes, see what they might.
The way we see it reported in the press is without the questions, and they say this and that, and then you see another report, and you realize maybe that's not what they asked for. Mm.
So you think because they contracted from the government?
Yeah,
yeah,
no,
or
from
government.
Whoever.
Yeah.
No.
By their reports.
Let's see. And this guy who is the director, isn't he a former
political sociologist from Kent State and Columbia, New York,
and liberal?
Yes,
or Pol Pot, more or less.
Right.
I mean, it's obvious in political polls that
Hans Zetterberg, and Karen Bush, who I'm with.
I'll give you an example. This is concerning the public opinion of sympathies for different political parties. They have the parties in Parliament are represented in these queries they have, but not the Green Party, so you never get any figures of that in the CIPU presentations. There's another institute called the IMU who do, and then you have different figures. As you know, it depends on how you put the questions.
IMU. I ought to go. I will contact you.
You can check with them.
Yeah.
They did this poll recently where I think around 60% of the Swedes said they had been a little worried or a lot worried about radiation in Sweden after Chernobyl, and that 80% had heard other people talk about their worries concerning this. And but this also had something. They also had something to say about the fact that Swedes believe in the authorities' way of presenting facts too. That was about 2 weeks ago they did that study.
So when someone calls you and asks you here in Stockholm, is there a danger from Chernobyl, from radiation? What is your answer to them?
Yes, that question has come up several times.
Kommer nästa måndag.
And we say we don't know. We haven't seen the reports. They don't measure very well in Stockholm. We can't answer your questions.
Interesting. Yeah, it's very difficult. Yeah, we feel. Do you feel a sense of helplessness in terms of not being able to give an answer?
Yeah. Naturally, and we have decided that we have to have. Some kind of network for people on radiation, and we'll have to be organized in case something similar happens, prepared for that.
113.
We don't know more than the authorities, because we read the authority reports, and some of us are not scientists, so we don't have that extra information a scientist has. We know that the government or the authorities' reports are lacking, you know. We know they don't have any expertise on how radioactivity acts on man and in nature. They are only technicians there, and radiation up in the air. And that has been very obvious now, and they're going to do something about it. Hey, don't stop.
Goodbye.
Nice meeting you. Thank you. What is you also, I think, if I'm not incorrect, just winding some of these questions up, are you both also suspicious of this Karolinska Institute, the National Radiation Protection or Reporting Group, this group here? In other words, when you see on television the director, forget his name.
Gunnar Benson.
Benson. Yeah. Do you or Jack Valentin is the other one. Who, when you put your television on and you see them, is it something? I mean, do they have credibility for you, or do you?
No. For me, no.
Now why?
Because they don't tell the whole truth.
Yeah.
And because they don't evaluate radiation the way I do. They keep comparing the situation for people with our normal background level radiation situation. And I'm going to eat these radioactive substances. And they only measure cesium and iodine.
what the hell happens to all the rest of them? Some of them are also long-lived.
So you think they're being told not to tell the truth?
No, I don't think they have the resources to measure more, and they prefer not to either. I mean, they concentrate their resources on these two isotopes, and I mean, Sweden is often big, and we have very few people, so I'm sure, I mean, they have engaged half of the institutions in Sweden with radioactivity meters and experience with these kinds of things working for them, and they still can't get enough information to satisfy my needs.
Yeah. You feel the same way about that? The lack of credibility?
Yeah.
When you put your telly on and you see him, is your reaction, last night, for example, my friend, his reaction, his telly came on, and him again.
Another vote from the archipelago. You didn't see the news last night.
Him again.
Yeah. It's terrible, really. If I were working with the government, I would
get another chap and I would tell them to change policy in a way.
Change his jacket too, that's what my friend.
Yeah, probably. I haven't noticed that. But it's quite evident that you can't trust them if you're an ordinary member of the Swedish nation being concerned about your health or the future and nature, because they started off in the wrong end, you see. They started off right after the accident saying, oh, it's not dangerous, take it easy. And a week after, you were told not to eat the nettles, not to eat the parsley, to be careful with what you were eating and what was growing on the ground. And they said, they've been saying continuously, we're going to make new measurements, we're going to check this and check that and check that. And so you have the proper information, or what is more proper anyway, afterwards, when it's too late. Instead of saying from the beginning that we don't think this is dangerous, but just in case, before we know, stay indoors and don't let your children play in the sand if it's been raining in the area the last week, and don't eat this and be careful with that. And then, continuously after the measurements have been made, saying that we've checked this and we find so much and we know this. This we don't know, so continue being careful in that aspect, and sort of letting off afterwards when you know what you're talking about, instead of putting people to all this danger and then a week or two after saying, oh, this was more than we thought.
You think they did it to prevent panic or something? Or?
Yes, I think they are, which Swedish authorities very often are doing. They're taking on the responsibility, which they might have also, to calm down, not to worry people when there's no need, as they call it. They don't treat us as grown-up people, being able to think for ourselves or being able to take responsibility for our own lives. And I think it's an insult. I take it as an insult. And I think they're not doing their job properly. So I listen to what they say, and what they say one day, what they say the next day, what they say the week after. And of course I get the impression they don't care about our health. They care about, what they care about is trying to calm people down, and in the end it's political action in a way, so to speak, to stand up for the government, not to worry people, and sort of say the you needn't worry, we're doing the right thing, the government's going to be doing the right thing. And
but if you're right,
yeah.
As now I spent just the 2 days talking with people so far. And everyone I've met has shared this view of the lack of credibility, the lack of forthrightness, and the fact that this information's slow.
Mm-hmm.
That this really is almost an act, I mean, potentially political suicide for a government, because one can look at a scenario of when this really becomes a health issue.
Mm-hmm.
where people might be get all of a sudden, if they're forced to admit that people, because of what they said, may get sick. There may be more, let's say, 20,000 extra cancer deaths, or whatever it would be, that this is the kind of issue that the political system could not tolerate. I mean, wouldn't be able to withstand. And
30 years old, you know. I mean, and Swedes are not docile.
Yeah.
They are really. And how can you build political power out of something that's going to happen in the future when people don't believe that?
Well, the center party, though, I think, is trying, don't you think, to mobilize this and bring it to the attention of the public.
And
the left wing. I'm going to see the left party communists this afternoon. Another example of a party that's trying to at least say liberalism, the liberal party is...
They're quite fair, actually, in their struggles for environmental survival. But I think you're quite right. When I think I see a very big danger in this politically or to society. But to start up with the politically for the government and their status. I mean, they can always find something out in the coming 30 years. They can always blame something else. They can say, oh well, of course, a few of these cancer deaths can be accounted to the Chernobyl accident, but most of them come from so-and-so, or the coal plants, or, yes, connection with smoking and bad living and exhaust from the cars and whatnot. They can always invent something. And people will believe them because they can't put anything against it, and they don't have any proof, or they, well, what can they do? But I see the danger here, not unfortunately, I would say, for the the political parties, which in my opinion don't take the responsibility they should. But for society, the panic they're trying not to get now will or might, as I see it, cause another kind of panic, a kind of chaos in society, because when you can't trust the authorities anymore, when this is undermined, who can you trust? Who are you going to listen to? And who is going to guide your actions? And then you might have total chaos.
Yeah. What do you see as the future of the Green? What do you see as the future of the Green Party as a result of this, in terms of getting seats in the government? Do you think that your political chances are improved politically?
Yeah. Yes, I think so. But it doesn't show now.
Yeah, no, it won't show.
In one reason or another.
Yeah.
I think so.
Let me close by just asking, I'm very interested in this. Now, just so that the tape recorder knows what I'm talking about here, on August 9th there's going to be a march on Barsebäck nuclear power plant, right? Now, this is a countrywide you're trying to... if I can read this right, bus people down, and how many people do you expect to attend?
It can be anything between 5,000 and 25,000 people.
And what is the strategy? What are you going to be doing now? You're going to
march.
And where do you march to?
20 kilometers.
Okay.
To the Barsebäck reactor.
And what do you do there?
There's going to be a big meeting with speeches and music and that sort of.
Now, do you have civil disobedience there too? Or people? Is the goal to get arrested or something there?
No.
Okay.
We don't know really, actually.
Not that I know.
There has been attempts at civil disobedience, but with very little following this far around the Barsebäck plant.
You had to block the gates and that sort of thing.
And
the gates will be closed when you get there? In other words, when you get to Barsebäck, obviously it's fenced off.
It's Saturday, yes, it's fenced off.
So how do you get
in? There's going to be a meeting outside, no.
Oh, it's outside.
It's in a big field outside.
Big field on the shore, just outside.
Yeah.
And there have been quite a few marches before to the same place.
And you expect many people, I gather, from Denmark to come
Danes
over, Danes who...
And
who
we hope people from all over Sweden, because we know anyway that they're going to be...
buses arranged from, well, close to 20 different towns and cities all over the country, apart from Skåne, the very south part, where there are going to be buses from all the towns all over. Then also we have a special agreement with the National Railway Company, who gives 30% on all the tickets down these days to the south of Sweden for the people going to participate in the
marathon. Oh, really?
Yeah. We have a special slip they show to the ticket office.
Now, what does it say?
Nuclear power, no thank you.
No nuclear power, no thanks. That's what your button says.
Yes.
Okay. I have one. It's a,
you have one?
No, no, I don't have one. I mean, I
have
a T-shirt. Oh, thank you.
Souvenir. And this is a special one for the the anti-Barsebäck project.
I have a T-shirt that says "No nukes," and the O for the O is a sun for the picture of the sun for solar solar power. Which I live in Davis, California, which is the capital of alternative energy, or the center of alternative energy in all of the world. Well, the United States. I don't want to say anything. I live in a solar heated home, and no windows on the west side. And now the newest thing, I don't live in one, are the underground homes for energy conservation. But I have all solar heat, solar power, no oil or anything like that.
No.
And,
do you have any electricity from outside?
Because we have bad weather quite often, so you can't generate it like that. But we have several solar developments where it's all solar. And it was interesting for me. Many people from Sweden who belong to this alternative energy groups have been to Davis, and that's how I've met many of my contacts here. The people I spent the weekend with at one of these island archipelagos was someone who came to Davis to study solar energy, it was nice like that. This has been very helpful. It really has. You've been a great help to me, and I will, anything I write, I will send to you, and you can see it, and maybe on my next trip back, I'll have more questions, we can get together again or something like that. Well, this is great. Discussion now of Green Party movements, politics, and organization, continuation of first interview. Thank you.
No.
The border
very strict. But I was going to tell you that the meeting
I can turn
that
off too,
no, that's quite all right with me.
You read something.
That, you're aware that I might mix up things. The meeting in Brussels at the end of June and the beginning of July with Green parties and yes, certainly.
Thank you.
The anti-nuclear movement decided. Three things actually. One, to build a network all over Europe of independent scientists who can help us out with information on radiation and answer the questions properly in our views. As we have the same feeling in all these countries that we can't trust the authorities. And I think French was worst off. They really actually lied to the people about figures and fallout and things like that. And then we decided to have a parallel conference to the IAEA conference in September now in Vienna, with information on alternative energy and with the opposition which I gave you in the resolution saying what we want the IAEA to do. That is to look on safety, to spread information on whenever an accident might be happening, and to control the proliferation and to stop promoting nuclear power. And then also to follow up Chernobyl, to sort of have an annual meeting or arrangement reminding of the Chernobyl accident in the future, so it won't be forgotten. Anyway, with the Green Party, I was told that the people in the head of the political party in the work now, they were surprised that it hasn't given more of a reaction politically for the Green Party, this accident. We're a bit disappointed, actually, but I don't know, in between elections, I suppose it's always like that. You have the people they they are drawn towards the issue and the organizations working with the issue, rather. And then it will be guided, I suppose, into political action when the elections come closer.
Your position with the Green Party, just for the record, is?
Yes, I'm an activist. I'm a representative for the Stockholm region on the national board, so to speak, of representatives for the whole organization. And, excuse me.
Klockan
19, jag har det tror jag kan. Okej, tack. And I've been sitting on we have different main parts in the organization on the national level. We have one looking after the organization and the economic situation and that sort of thing. And I was working on that group from the beginning for a year, and then we have one group looking after the political questions altogether, and I was working with that one for a year.
I see.
You know,
okay.
The party is only 5 years old.
Yeah.
We have a 5-year celebration now in September. And I've been working with the part looking after our newspaper. We have a newspaper of our own coming out every week called The Alternative in Swedish Politics. And I've been then being the spokesman of the party for some time. I was one of the founders as well. To me, the Green Party is the political alternative in Sweden. It's a way to put pressure on the government to look after the questions from the environment movement, the peace movement, and the national campaign against nuclear power.
Called the Ecology Party. I've seen many books written, the Ecology Party. Do you like that?
Yeah, we haven't really found the proper expression in English, but we changed the name quite recently to show that we are cooperating with the Grünen in West Germany, we're cooperating with the ecologists and Le Verre in France and all this. We have an international or a European coalition between all the green parties of Europe, and we meet, I think it is 4 times a year, usually in Brussels, and discuss questions we have together and experience we have and exchange ideas. And
In American textbooks in the United States, it's called, in the translation has become the Ecology Party, to symbolize friends of the earth almost, matters of clean water, clean environment, health, no nuclear. It's all, the term ecology is all encompassing, so that's how they don't use the term green in the textbooks.
It's a proper view of it anyway, or what concerns us.
Yeah, so that's good. That's quite interesting.
The party has expanded very much on the local level, as you know, in the last election, but hasn't got into parliament because there is this 4% bar and a measure of economy. Actually, we don't get any money from the state at all. We have to pay up to all the other parties because they're using taxpayers' money, of course, quite a lot, millions and millions of Swedish crowns for the political work.
Yeah.
And this party doesn't get anything, so it's hard work.
My dinner guest, I was his dinner guest, he said it was a sad state that the Christian Democrats outpolled the Ecology Party in Sweden. He said, that's what's wrong with the Swedes. So I said, okay.
Like that, being in opposition.
Yeah.
But the Green Party, or the Ecology Party of Sweden, anyway, has reacted so much as to present, it isn't quite finalized, but present a new plan for the phase out of Swedish nuclear power, which is going to be much quicker. This party was the first and only one, up till quite recently anyhow, who had a plan for the phasing out of nuclear power in Sweden for 10 years, as from now. And now they have a plan, or we have a plan to phase out nuclear power until the end of 1986, which is this year. which is quite tough actually, but showing the alternative that if we want to close down all the Swedish reactors now, we can do it. The Swedish Green Party wants to do it, but it does mean restrictions in the consumption of energy for some time until we have evened out the situation, which means we should stop using aluminium tins for drinks, and we should not bleach our paper so much, and we shouldn't be able to use energy too much in our households. Sort of, we should stop what we would call some of the waste, really.
Carpooling, all of that.
Yeah, well, luxury, really, in a way. And also we have to use a bit of more oil and more coal in the meantime. But as I said before, in the 60s, we know we had our washing machines, we had our stereo recorders and players and television sets and whatnot, and everybody was quite comfortable without nuclear power at all in Sweden. We didn't have any at all. So when the industry tells us that we need it, we don't believe them. And well, some people, they have forgotten how comfortable it was before the nuclear power era.
It's an interesting way to think about it. I like the way that's phrased, but that Sweden was nuclear free just 20 years ago, 15 years ago, and people were just, had the good life.